This is Asaf, or Mr. Germany as you all decided, in Cologne, and you're listening to the pod that Jane likes.
Cześć wszystkim, pozdrowienia dla fanów Dave Matthews Band. This is Albert reporting live from Warsaw, Poland, and you are listening to the pod that Jane likes.
Ciao a tutti, sono Michele.
Sono Elisa.
Sono Simone.
E state ascoltando the pod that Jane likes.
A Milano.
A Milano.
Hello everybody, here in Milan is Michele,
Elisa
and Simone,
and we are live here with the pod that Jay likes
in Milan.
Woo! Yeah.
This is Craig from London and this is the pod that Jane likes.
This is Jess in Brussels and you're listening to the pod that Jane likes.
Hi, this is Stephanie, aka Two Stuff, live from Paris, and you're listening to the pod that Jane likes.
Isto é o que eu estou. Estou aqui na minha arena em Lisboa, Portugal, para o Dave Matthews Band e estás a ouvir o Pod That Jane Likes. Live from Lisbon, this is the Pod That Jane Likes.
This is a DMB Society podcast.
I got a sister named Jane.
And this is the pod that Jane likes. And now, here are your hosts, Jeanette, Trisha, Matt, and Sean.
We got them. Hola.
What's up, everyone? Hello, and welcome back to the pod that Jane likes. A special welcome to our first-time listeners, especially those of you that have found us overseas. We hope you like what you hear and that you come back for more. This is already an exciting year for DMB, and we haven't even hit the summer tour yet. As always, I'm joined by Jeanette, Trisha, and Sean, and we're going to do today what we always do, and that is discuss everything happening in the world of DMB. We wrapped up the European tour in style this weekend with two things we haven't seen in a very long time: a full Last Stop, which we're going to get to, of course, and a video stream, and I'm not sure which is a bigger deal. We're going to talk about that too. We'll get to that along with all of our favorite moments from this tour that really honestly defied everyone's expectations. There's also some news to share as we inch closer to the annual DMB summer tour. A reminder that if you enjoy what you hear on the show, please be sure to rate, review, and favorite us on your favorite podcast app, and give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Pod the Jane Likes. Without further ado, let's jump into it with our first segment, the opener. All right, so the end of the tour was spectacular, as my prayers were answered with a video stream and a full Last Stop, and Trisha's prayers were answered with looking for a vein in the 13 slot. I'm just kidding.
That's right.
So we will get to Lisbon, but we're going to start off in Dublin, where the band headed after the anticipated London stops, and we're going to bring in everyone as we are back to full Voltron on U.S. soil. Trisha, Jeanette, and Sean, what is good? How are you all?
We're back.
Hi, we're back.
It feels good to be back.
Yes.
It does.
I was a little lonely here. I'm glad you're back.
Oh.
Great to see your faces here. I'm excited to talk about everything that transpired over the past little bit and talk a little bit about what's to come as well. So let's get into it. After we left our heroes in London, we headed out to Dublin, to Ireland, for a show at the Three Arena. And the European tour continued to impress. We had no tour debuts for this show. However, we had a pig opener.
Yeah.
We had a fish tender. We had some other unique runs in the show. And I thought this was another good one. Things, you know, continued on. There was creativity in the set list creation. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I feel like coming from London, you know, being at the two London shows and then
seeing Dublin set list, it was like all those songs that like I the leftover songs that we didn't get that were on my like wish list, you know? So for those people that that continued on to Dublin from London, like great, great three shows to go to.
Yeah, you know, I think the band, when they wrapped up the two nights in London, it would have been really easy to think that you just kind of roll into the next stop and mailing it in would be the wrong word, but you know, you just kind of put it on cruise control.
You do a lot of repeats, you know? Yeah.
Well, that didn't happen. I'm glad you mentioned repeats, Jeanette, because from London night two to the Dublin show, there were only two repeats, you know, so they, I was really caught off guard. I thought if there was going to be one show where they were just, you know, kind of on cruise control, as I said, it would be this one. I was totally wrong about that.
Yeah, same. Very caught off. I'm like, how do you, you know, I think all of us.
How do you top London?
Yeah, how do you top London? Oh, gosh. Like, the poor Irish, they're just going to get some kind of leftover show. And then pig idea of you walk around the moon fish tender. It was like, I could go home after that. It was
those
a good opening really run.
There's three songs in four songs that you just said that were on my wish list for London. And that's the first five songs in the show, you know? I mean, seriously, it's great. It's a great opening run. Yeah.
It was a great opening run. There was a lot of Dave speak. He kept saying, "I love the Irish." So I think he really and it showed in the set, and you could hear it in the energy of the crowd too. So Dublin, baby.
I hope he went to some pubs before he took the stage.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they had a lot of Guinness.
Right.
Because that's all that's served in Dublin.
I was like, wait, is Guinness from Ireland? Yeah, right.
One other thing that I thought was interesting from this show is towards the latter portion, you have Jimmy Thing without Brickhouse.
Yeah.
Going into Warehouse. I think that's cool. You know, we've gotten so accustomed to these cover songs after Jimmy Thing. I thought that was an interesting twist here.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, Matt. I think that is an example, and there's going to be more examples of this as we continue through our Europe recap. But I think so much of what keeps things fresh is when things aren't predictable. And for so long, the back half of Jimmy Thing was pretty predictable. Maybe you didn't know exactly what cover song you were going to get there, but you were going to get something. And when that song started, you kind of knew what the next, 15, 20 minutes looked like. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm really glad you pointed this out because it's a pretty great ending run to this show. Mm-hmm. Dublin got a great show.
It sure did. And after Dublin, the band swung back to the other part of the UK, right? Back to Manchester. Yep. And we got another, you know, these shows, I think what's interesting, and we'll talk about this in our recap, this whole tour, you know, we had an idea in our heads of what it was going to be like. And as we've continued to talk about all these shows, I think, and I said this from the jump here, things really defied expectations across the board with what kind of shows these were going to be and what songs they would, you know, what songs would be included. I mean, you jump over here and I think towards the beginning you had Walk Around the Moon being very heavy in the rotation. And by the end of the tour, as tends to happen with DMB on an album tour anyways, now the number of plays of songs from the album that's being promoted continue to go down as the tour goes on, which I always find kind of interesting. So, you know, this next show we have Under the Table as the lead album representation. We've got a couple of tour debuts. Interestingly enough, the tour debut of Sledgehammer, which that says everything you need to say about the tour that Sledgehammer hasn't been played. And the tour debut of Do You Remember, which followed Lion or Graves and Say Goodbye. I mean, that's a pretty cool run as well.
Absolutely.
I thought this show was dynamite. You know, you couldn't ask for anything more, I would say, based on where the band had come out of previously. You know, I had nothing but good things to say about this show.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that in addition to everything that you mentioned, Matt, I thought that there were some really, really solid performances of kind of standard staple songs as well. And I'm talking about right from the jump, you get what I thought was a really, really good Grey Street to open up the show. Shocking, Grey Street, not something that has opened a lot of shows recently. This was only the fifth time in the past 5 years that Grey Street opened a show. So pretty rare to find Grey Street in that opening spot. But besides the rarity of it, besides the numbers, I thought this version was great. Actually listening to it, Matt, you kind of popped into my head because there's a hat tip to Ghostbusters towards the back end of this in the horn section. So yeah, I thought there were some really, really great performances. Another one that stood out to me early in the set, Virginia in the Rain, actually. I really have liked the way that that song has sounded this Europe tour. There's an extended outro most times that it's been played. The extended outro really fits the song. It brings in even more jazzy elements than the song already has, and I'm here for that.
I also have something else to say about this show early on, and I would like to pose the question to Jeanette, because I know that this is her favorite song. Jeanette, do you feel like Lionel Graves has sort of taken a step up over the past couple of years? Not only have we seen it as a song that we've seen more and more guests come out and play on, which I don't think really happened that much before. You know, we had classic versions with like Trey, for example, but I almost feel like Lionel Graves has superseded, and I'm trying to think of what song it might have superseded, but I really feel like it superseded something to really become that staple jam. Maybe like a Seek Up. Maybe it's like taking the place of where like Seek Up would be in a lot of cases. I just feel like it's become a monster. I think it's always been a monster, but I think it's just become like I don't know if it's a favorite. I don't know if Buddy's just, you know, figuring himself out in the right ways as he is with other songs. But I really feel like, I mean, what do you think being such a fan of that song?
I really think it's interesting that you bring this up. I really think that, and I never really say this about him, but I think the hero of the song is Tim. And this is where he shines. And there's other songs that I don't necessarily think need a heavy guitar solo, a heavy electric guitar solo, but on Lionel Graves, he plays it perfectly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because, you know, he's on the recorded version, and maybe it means so much to him, but I just think that he shines and it elevates the song so much, and the crowd is always locked in. Mm-hmm. Locked in every single time. Like, I've never really been bored. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, it's my favorite song, but I've never been during that part where they jam out, I've never really felt like the crowd wasn't locked in ever. And I think that Tim is really the hero of the most current Lionel Graves.
You know, we've talked before about the fact that at some point in time, DMB started to prioritize kind of perfecting songs versus maybe taking some risks the way that they did in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s. And something I didn't expect to happen is Lionel Graves has kind of fallen into that category of songs that they have prioritized, songs that they feel really comfortable playing. Graves has been getting a lot of performances. Mm-hmm. Last year, 2023, saw the most performances of Lionel Graves since 2007. Mm. So, you know, I think, and it just speaks volumes to the fact that they are really happy with where that song is at. At least it appears that way to me. Here we are in the early parts of 2024, regular rotation during the European tour. No reason to think that won't happen when the band comes back to the States and starts that tour. Something that caught me off guard, and what a nice little treat it is that Graves has fallen into that basket of songs that they're just really happy with. And as a result, you're getting more and more of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that another point to make about Lionel Graves is I never thought I was going to get over losing Boyd on the song. Like, mm-hmm. he's had such a crucial part, and I don't miss him on the song anymore. You know, I didn't think I'd ever get there.
Mm-hmm. That's a big breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good show. You know, I know we talk a lot about tour debuts, but Say Goodbye and Love or Lay Down, those were two songs that were only played once, like in the beginning of this Europe tour. Right. So it was nice to see those come back. Yeah, and a show like Manchester makes me think about how, like, you may not like a whole set, but when you go to a show, you're always going to get like a good run. And there was like a good run. Lionel Graves, Say Goodbye, Do You Remember, Warehouse, Spaceman, Monsters. Like, that was a good run right there, right in the middle of the show. So I thought that was a strong, strong show too.
And speaking of strong shows, we move to Belgium next. Ooh, and
this was a good one.
This was awesome. This was awesome. Yeah. we had the tour debut of Straight Shot. We had the tour debut of 27, and we had the return of Drive In, Drive Out, which is Woo-hoo! One of my faves. And I just thought that the set list makeup, the flow of this show, I thought was awesome. PNP starting a show is always is always awesome. I think that's such a great way to open things. The So Right closer.
What a great sandwich.
And you really couldn't ask for much more on the final run of Drive In, Drive Out. Typical Nancy's Warehouse two-step. I mean, like, that is like, whoo.
That's like the meat of the sandwich.
Yeah, so it was like, what would that be, Jeanette? It's like a little, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's the roast beef. Idea of you walk around the moon, stare, leave madman's eyes.
Oh, that's like the cheese. The cheese. We can't have a sandwich without cheese.
Yeah. But the pickles of this show was seven, So Damn Lucky and Straight Shot. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
hey.
Not that crazy. Pickles.
Loved seeing that 27 pop out, for sure.
Well, what was the 27, Trisha? Is that the pickles? Is it the cheese? Is it the tomato? Is it the lettuce? Is it the hot?
It's the whole sandwich, all right? I'm done eating by the 9 slot, okay? I ate the sandwich. It was just nice to see. I like when I'm really shocked, you know? I just was shocked that popped out. And then this bottom run of like a 13-minute typical and then a Nancy's Warehouse, it's like almost 20 minutes, and then an 18-minute two-step. It's like, bring back this jam.
That's like OG.
Part of the,
That whole entire Drive In, Drive Out, typical Nancy's Warehouse two-step. Like, is it 1998?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's insane.
Very much enjoyed that. Very much enjoyed what was happening here. And you know, we talked about I think I said the So Right closer. I mean, that's pretty special also. Sean, do we have a stat on that? Is this the first time?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, this was the first time ever that So Right has closed either a set or the final song performed in an encore. So, you know, here we see it as a song that ended the encore, the last song of the night, the second encore song. And that's never happened before. So, yeah, really, really interesting, really captivating set list writing here for somebody who pays attention to set lists and, you know, can sometimes be overly critical.
No.
This European tour almost as a whole really kept me on my toes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe not the next show in Paris as we get there. You know, the last show was so hot. I felt like this show kind of like was good, but like, you know, things cooled off a bit. You had the closer of Jimmy Thing, Brick House. Again, we thought it was gone. You know, looking at the set list from previous
weeks, they're always keeping us on our toes.
Right. And then you're like, oh, Jimmy Thing, is that going to close the set, or is it going to go into Warehouse? Is it going to go into something else? No, it goes into Brick House. And that's how things got closed out. But, you know, there was some good stuff in here. Just this show wasn't necessarily for me, and I did look at the set list afterwards and saw that Shake Me was cut after Jimmy Thing. So, you know, it was something.
Yeah, and I think to a point that we touched on a little bit earlier in recapping these final five shows, an awful lot of people did multiple European stops, right? So especially if you were coming from the States, it made sense to try to, if you could with your schedule, try to figure out a way to get to more than one show. Same thing if you lived in Europe. The band is there so infrequently, we ran into a lot of people who kind of handpicked a couple of different stops. And here again, we talk about Belgium the night before. Now we go into Paris, and obviously two totally different countries. So in theory, you would think that the shows could have some similarities. But here again, there were only two songs that were performed in back-to-back shows, and Mad Men's Eyes was one of them. And in some ways, Mad Men's Eyes almost doesn't count because it appeared every night.
Right.
Right. So, you know, they were very much, it really did feel like they were kind of tailoring these shows to the fact that people were consuming them in chunks.
Mm-hmm. American Baby intro was played on the acoustic. That was cool.
Yeah,
to see.
That was my favorite moment of that show. Yeah.
Yeah. So to couch tour that and see that, I was like, oh, picked my head right up. And it was a powerful American Baby intro. And that was cool to see. It was really actually good. A little weird to see on an acoustic, because there was like, I don't know. He's like screaming and shaking during the song, and there wasn't like a lot of room to do that. He still did it with the big acoustic guitar. Yeah,
it brought a different feel for sure to that song. It's noticeable even if you don't have the visual of what he's playing on. If you listen to both versions, an electric version and an acoustic version, there's a very different vibe to it. And I was really feeling the direction that it took with that new vibe.
Me too. It was like more like guttural and I don't know how to explain it.
Different.
Like it was like just like deeper. Like I don't know how to fuller, like a fuller, like woody sound. Like I don't know how to explain it, but I really liked the direction it went in with the acoustic.
It was woody. I can't wait to use that.
Very woody.
You know, we got a strong oak. It was like a little mahogany meets some balsam meets it's woody. It was a woody American baby.
I was thinking oak, not mahogany, but
oaky, like an oaky shard, you know.
Yes, like a full bodied oaky shard.
It was a full bodied exactly American baby intro.
That's exactly it. That, thank you.
Oh man. All right. Well, moving on. I think we're going to have the most talk about here from the recent shows. This is the show in Lisbon, and it came out last week that this show would be live streamed. Live streamed, not just audio, but also with video. This is the first live stream that this band has done since, I believe, Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, since the Bristow show, back pre-COVID, if I remember correctly, in like 2019.
Which 2019, weather delay. Weather delay. In the middle of that show.
Yep.
The only little asterisk you could add in there, Matt, but to each their own, everybody could draw their own conclusions. In between 2019 and now, DMB, they've done festival performances that were broadcasted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, that's a totally different animal. We've talked a lot about the difference between seeing DMB at a festival and a show that's their own. So, yes, you are 100% correct. First video live stream since 2019.
Yep. And
I just find that to be so bananas because I feel like for years we would get at least 1 to 2 streams a year, you know, and it's been since 2018 that they have not given us at least one stream the whole tour. That's insane. So this was such a treat. I felt like we were there. I loved it.
And we could spend a whole episode talking about the lack of video streaming from DMB.
Right. I mean,
you look at Dead & Company, you look at Phish, the contemporaries of DMB in their touring world, you know, these bands that are just have such a following. People care about night to night what's happening because of setlist variation, because of, you know, the type of fan that we are that obsess over every little detail. We would pay big money to see these shows on a regular basis, and we just don't even have the opportunity here. Dead & Company offers a season pass. I know they're not touring anymore, but they did offer a season pass where you could buy the entire tour on video, which was awesome. They had a really clean stream, great sounding stream. Phish does the same thing. You can, you know, buy individual shows. You can buy the whole tour. You can do whatever you want to do, and you can couch tour, you know, in style. And we just never have that. So what an out of nowhere surprise. Come to find out that the two guys behind Volta who were the webcasters of this event have seemingly been working on this for a while. I guess they started off as tapers and have now started this company that they've been looking at different video angles and things like that. And there were some cool features of the stream, although just comparing it to the other stuff that's out there, like the Nugs streams and things like that. Nugs.net is who has done Dead & Company and does other streams on a regular basis. You know, this didn't have a lot of the audio quality that we've seen from other places, but it was still great to have. And we really, really hope that this is something that's going to be offered in the future. I mean, I can speak for myself, but, you know, I know we've all talked about this, and it would just be really great to see that become just an option. I don't think it's about selling tickets. You know, I'm not going to cancel my ticket purchase for, you know, any given show because I can just sit there on my couch and watch it. I'm still going to go to as many shows as I normally would. But, you know, what if it's a Saturday night and I know that there's a show on and I want a high quality stream and I'm willing to pay, you know, $25, $30 for it. Give me that option, DMB.
Absolutely.
Give me that off.
Matt starts off saying, we could have a whole episode on this. Like, you want to do that right now? Is that what we're doing?
I'm cutting it there, you know?
Oh, it's a big deal. I mean, this yeah, was a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And I actually like the idea of two tapers starting out as tapers and working their way
absolutely
up.
Yeah,
like,
it's very cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
I thought it was done so well. But to your point, Jeanette, and everyone, it's been so long that I felt very overwhelmed with how happy I was in my living room with the quality.
Yep.
And, you know, we took all of us take matters into our own hands and we go to couch tour. But boy, yeah. To not have to couch
night
tour,
and day, you know, night and day.
Yeah, it is just really, really amazing. So grateful to have that option. And let's talk about the show. Well, unless you have other things to say about Volta.
That was it. I was just, I just wanted to say how happy I was, because if you've listened to this podcast at all, you've heard me bitch and moan about the fact that this does not exist for this band and that I would love to have it. And so this was great. This was a really big deal. I was really happy that they did it. Let's talk about the show, because I was happy to have professional recordings of certain things here. So,
what a treat.
Yeah, what a treat. We have our So Right opener, which I know we talked about last time, Sean, that So Right had really not been a regular opener, but I think this is at least the second time, if not the third time, on the European tour that this has happened, right?
Yeah, so it happened twice during this European tour. It's happened 11 times ever, so it's not exactly a super common occurrence. So Right, it's super comfortable in that one slot. It can close a show. It can be in an encore. It can be smack in the middle of a show if you just kind of need a jolt of energy. So Right, super versatile, and love the fact that they're playing around with where you're finding it on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, we just kept firing off here with DMB classics and songs that I think we talked about the band perfecting now. So we know how much they love When the World Ends, but, you know, songs like Say Goodbye, Walk Around the Moon, Best of What's Around, Idea of You making a huge comeback on the European tour, which was great. I've enjoyed really hearing that more than we ever have in recent memory. And we build and we build and we build. And then we have Dave doing the first ever, I think, Dave Matthews medley, right? In the E1
spot, medley.
The E1 medley. You know, just playing all the hits, right?
Little improv jam. Yeah, and then we went into Dream Girl, and then we went into Rye Whiskey.
But also, like some of his what he was fooling around with was like, you know, there were some songs I think that he was teasing in there as he's trying to find his way. I thought that was really interesting and funny.
I mean, he was trying to find his way because he went on a speech that was got him all in his emotions is what happened. I mean, this wasn't like an intentional, let me go out there and improv and jam. No, he got himself flustered, it seems.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. He's on a live stream. He's talking about controversial things. And that's kind of what dictated that whole encore.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
it really struck me how it seemed like the audience were really hanging on everything that Dave was doing in that encore, whether it was an improv, something that they've never heard before, whether it was Dream Girl / Rye Whiskey. And it just makes the experience so much more enjoyable.
Yeah. And I got to say, this show being the last show of the Europe tour, it really was almost the perfect last show of a tour. I felt like it was Europe 2024's greatest hits, right? Like, I feel like it was all the classics. It was some Walk Around the Moon. You know, we got Mad Men's Eyes, of course, but we got, you know, So Much to Say and Too Much. We got all the things that they were like really perfecting this tour. And then they wrapped it up with the big best grand finale ever. So
did they ever?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sure did.
Did they ever?
Let's get into it.
Let's talk into it.
Guys, we did it.
We did it.
We brought it back. We brought it back. Why it ever left is beyond me, but we did it. We brought it back. The Last Stop played in full for the first time since 2018. We don't know why it was ever truncated. We don't know why Immigrant Song was ever attached onto it.
No. World's biggest mystery.
World's biggest mystery. Perhaps we'll spend an episode interviewing, sleuthing, finding out why. But here we are. with the return of the full Last Stop in all its glory, as this was building and building and building like this song does, you could just tell that like this was a release not only for the band, but I think for everybody who was watching. Like my DMs never blow up, and my DMs were blowing up over this.
Of course.
So I was, you know, I was consuming this.
You're
I was
the leader of the movement.
That's right. That's right. This was just an incredibly beautiful piece of music that all of a sudden, you know, as Carter hits that, you know, like as that happens, everybody's smiling, like people are clapping. Jeff's like leading everybody who's there clapping. Yep. You like can't believe that this, I couldn't believe that it was actually happening. I just thought that this was so exciting. And I will give preps to one Arthur Buddy Strong on this recording, because he was phenomenal. And if you've heard me talk before about Buddy, there are some things that Buddy does that I don't love. And I'm not afraid to say that. And this was one of the things that I absolutely loved. I thought he fit in to the pocket perfectly. He was subtle, but he was also really furthering the song and the jam.
Yeah. Yep.
It was incredible. I think everybody thought it was incredible. Please, DMB, do not ever remove this from the Last Stop ever again, because it is just an incredible piece of music. Probably, I think, has moved in, and I don't know if it's because of the rarity, we can have that conversation, has moved into, I think, my favorite thing to experience, like this iteration of the band live. This is what I wanted to end every show. I would be, if I went to 25 shows and all 25 shows ended with this, that would be fine.
It would be amazing. Yeah. Well, to stay on the Buddy theme for a minute, so if the full Last Stop hasn't been played since 2018, in theory, this might be the only, second time he played it live?
Mm-hmm. Second time he's played that part, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that's impressive for how beautiful it sounded. Mm-hmm. That's really impressive.
He practiced, for sure. Yeah. You know, like, it was great. The only thing I regret is I wish that when it started, we all put a camera, like a live feed camera, on the four of us, like, because I would have loved to seen, like, actually seen with my eyeballs all of your reactions when it turned over to the, you know, like when it turned over to the tenet. Is this the full Last Stop? I was like, yeah. It's like he figured it out.
Well, maybe we might not have webcam footage of that, but what we do have is this gorgeous live stream. Mm-hmm. And there was this really cool moment before before everyone knew that they were going to go in to that outro of the song, before people knew that they were going to complete the song. There's a really cool moment, if you go back and watch it, where the camera kind of pans. I believe it's Tim first, then it's Carter, then it's Stefan, then it's Dave. And it just felt like it was the four of them almost looking at one another like, all right, are we ready? We're going to do this, right?
Yeah.
Incredible. I you know, everybody said it so eloquently, the great parts of this song. So I don't know that I have a lot to add, but I will be a broken record and mention how good Buddy sounded, because it was so great. And I don't know if there's a greater compliment to pay a musician in that instance, like Buddy, more so than being able to say that instantly. As soon as I heard Buddy's take on this song, it felt like that's the way that it always should have been. Mm-hmm. He did that instantly. And I felt it in the moment. It was such a cool moment to be a part of. Matt said he kept kind of hitting these little notes. It really didn't ever feel like it was over the top. It was just the perfect amount, the perfect complement to one of the best pieces of music that this band has.
It was gorgeous.
If you go back and listen to my favorite Last Stop, which is Live Tracks 1 in Worcester.
Sure. Yep.
You have Boyd and you have Bella and you have Roy. And they're all doing this. They're all doing this like subtle, but like they're not stepping on each other's toes. Like they're all sort of sharing in this lead as they bring this jam. You know, it's almost like bringing in for a landing. This is like the ultimate, like bringing in for a landing song, I think. And I just thought that this continued that on, which is so, I'm not going to say rare, because we all know that we're never going to go back to that point. But there are very few songs where I will say, yes, like that's the general flavor of what we used to see all the time. And this was certainly one of those times, and, you know, really brought a smile to my face and reminded me of how much I love DMB. You know, like that's.
Such sweet sentiments taking place. I don't know if you caught it on the live stream, like right at the end, you caught a glimpse of Dave making like an expression to Carter, like, yeah, like they just got through
that.
Like, it was so good.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
It's cool to see too.
You know, the Last Stop too is in a light breezy song. Like, this is a full, you know, this is a country. Right. This is, you know, not this is a what the subject matter
it's
is.
It's a statement piece.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was just the perfect way, based on Dave's sentiment that night, and the things he was saying, it was a perfect way to end the show and the tour.
Yes. Well, that concludes the last few European shows. And what better time than now to jam a little bit more on Europe and talk about some of our favorite moments, some of our favorite surprises, our biggest takeaways. Let's jam a little bit more about Europe 2020. So Europe 2024 has concluded. I think that the general feeling across the board, as I said earlier on, really this tour defied all of our expectations, from full Last Stop to all the other moments that we're going to talk about in a second. This really was a special tour, and I would like to give the band props for that. I think that, you know, too often in the past, we have given them, you know, we've given them crap for mailing it in sometimes. And I really think that they're on a roll right now. And I'm going to start with just sort of general takes here. I think my biggest takeaway here is that this band continues to be so locked in across the board. And I still can't fully put my finger on exactly why. I don't know if it's Buddy becoming more comfortable. I don't know if it's the band getting to the point where they realize that they're not going to be able to do this forever, and they're really trying to savor every moment of this. And I don't know what it is, but that's my, I'm going to start the conversation off. My biggest takeaway here is that they're totally locked in. I'm so jazzed for 2024's summer tour. You know, I'm counting down the days until I get to see them this summer.
We picked a really good time to start a podcast about this band.
We did. Maybe it's the podcast, guys. Maybe it's us.
I mean, maybe we're challenging them, you know? I mean, we started in the summer of 2022, and I feel like since then it's just gets better and better and better. kudos to us, because we picked a really good time to start a podcast.
So that's my takeaway. Trisha, do you have a general takeaway here? Share your favorite show. You can just talk about a general takeaway. And I would love to hear what you have to say.
I definitely have a favorite show. I definitely have a favorite moment. I definitely have a lot of favorite moments from this tour. I think that I was caught off guard a little bit that my favorite show was one I didn't attend. Hmm. And that is Prague. I think Prague got one of the best shows. First starting with that poster that was like,
oh man.
That yeah. smells yes. like hop. I don't know, like was like the best poster. But from the poster to the set, a pig opener, the tour debut of Dreaming Tree. We got What You Are with that big red guitar that never saw the light of day again. Granny in the encore, and was a tour debut, like the return of Every Day. I know we don't all agree on the song Shake Me Like a Monkey, but we can agree that it's cool to get a 3-song encore. So like mm-hmm. there was something really special about Prague. That one sticks out to me as probably one of the best a tour. Even though I went to Italy and London had so many things to talk about, I still think Prague got the best show, the best overall show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's such a great take. Prague was a really, really good show. There's a lot of good shows, but Prague is one that really stands out. You're right.
Jeanette. General takeaway. What's your general takeaway?
My general takeaway is the statistics of this tour, the spread, and how there was so much variety. And, you know, we just had a new album come out. Walk Around the Moon was not the most played album every single night. It was the most played album altogether of the whole tour. Like about 18% of songs were from it. But there was like 5 nights where Crash was the most played album. There were nights where Under the Table was the most played album. There were nights where Every Day was the most played album. Yeah. There were nights where we had 5 covers and that was the most played. So I just think that spread is so interesting on a year that, you know, we could essentially believe that this was probably meant to be an album tour for Europe. I also find it awesome that we heard there were 18 songs that were only played once. You don't really see that all that often, you know. And I just think that those 18 songs are treats for those specific venues that nobody else got on the tour. And that could be, for example, we were in London and we got some treats. We got Minarets. We got Drunken Soldier. Nobody else got that. Like, that's ours, you know. So I feel like there are so many shows that got like this little treat that they can take home with them that was theirs and theirs only. You don't see that a lot. You don't see 18 songs only being played once on a tour.
Especially a European tour.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Sean, general takeaway.
I'm going to piggyback off of what Jeanette was saying, because I think the biggest takeaway for me is the fact that the comfort level that this band has with one another on stage. It felt to me with this current generation of the band that what we saw during the 2023 summer tour was the most comfortable that we've ever seen them. What I wasn't expecting is that was going to just continue. Mm. And I feel like we continue to see a band that is more and more comfortable with one another, and what that means for us, for the fans, for the people consuming all of these shows, is you really don't know from night to night what you're going to get. Jeanette talked about the fact that there were so many songs that were only played once, and I totally agree with you, Jeanette. It is kind of like a little souvenir from that show then. Mm-hmm. If you were at that show, you know, similar to buying a poster, or if you happen to go to a show that has a t-shirt just for that night, you're going home with maybe the only performance of, say, Minarets, as you used in your example. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that the band continues to be more and more comfortable, the song catalog continues to open wider and wider. I'm going to give you just a couple of quick stats, because it's what I like to do. You know, the last time that the band was in Europe was 2019. So we'll just quickly compare those two tours. 2019, the band played 18 shows and played 65 different songs. 2024, they played 19 shows and played 98 unique songs. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about just, you know, a little bit above and beyond what they did in 2019. We're talking about blowing it out of the water. We're talking about a European tour like we've never seen before. And
we've never seen a tour like this.
Well, at least across, across the pond. This felt so much more like what a U.S. tour could be, what a good U.S. tour could be.
Yeah, right.
So far blew away my expectations. And the comfort level, I think it just has naturally translated to creativity. It's playing, having the ability to just bust out what you are once, minarets, whatever the song may be. The setlist writing is so vastly different than what it was the last time the band was in Europe. One last stat that I want to give or a comparison, because yes, in a lot of ways, this was an album tour, but so was 2019, right? 2019 was very much the band going overseas to promote the Come Tomorrow album. And I'll give a shout out to our friend Marcus, who mentioned this online, and then I kind of dug a little bit deeper into some more statistics. But let's just compare some of the songs that were played in 2019 versus 2024. In 2019, the song Stand Up was played 13 times. In 2024, it had zero.
The song Stand Up?
Yeah.
13 to zero. Correct. Yes. We can continue with this trend. 2018, Louisiana Bayou, 12 performances in 2019. Louisiana Bayou in 2024, zero.
Best decision the band ever made.
That Girl Is You, 10 performances in 2019. 2024, zero. She, 2019, saw 9 performances in Europe. 2024, one. Finally, Can't Stop, 8 performances during the 2019 European tour. 2024 saw one. So, it just feels like, in addition to being comfortable, they almost have this different feel for their catalog right now. Mm-hmm. I know that this is a long-winded version of what my takeaway is, but it just seems like this comfort level has led to the songbook kind of being ripped open, and it has made it so much fun to be on the receiving end of that as a fan following this band night in and night out.
They're just like pulling shit out of their back pocket, and it's like, yeah.
They've got a lot of pockets. Like, these are cargo pants that they're wearing at the moment, because they have a lot being pulled out.
Well, those songs that you mentioned, Sean, for me personally, and I know that this sentiment is not echoed completely across the fan base, but those songs that you listed, those are songs that, like, I feel like I'm fighting with when I'm at a show, where, like, you're trying to get to the meat of the show and you have to, like, shove those songs out of the way. Like, you're gonna get one of them, you have to just, like, push it out of the way to get to, like, Lion Our Graves or to get to The Stone or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right. And having those, like, out of the way is just, like, it's like such a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. And again, like, what I will talk about our favorite moments from the tour now, and just being able to experience Last Stop, I'll steal it. I know that somebody was going to say it, so I'll be the one to say it. Last Stop being my favorite moment from this tour, that says everything you need to know about about the band. They probably recognize that this was something that the fans wanted to come back. This was also something that they realized, hey, we're pretty damn good at playing a song like this right now, and we're not gonna just
phone it in
and end on Shake Me Like a Monkey or something like that. I just think that it's great to have that as my big takeaway, again, just them being locked in, whatever it is that has furthered this part of the band is working. It's working extremely well, and it's working to the point for me of really wanting to, like, to add more shows to my summer tour, and to go out of my way to see them again and pay attention to what they're doing, which I can't say was the case for a long time. I still love them. I still am going to see them, of course, but it was never, this is exciting. This is nostalgic. This is all the things that you might want to say about it. And I can't wait for the summer. Jeanette, favorite moment here from the tour?
I mean, there's so many, but I think it's important to remember that in between Italy and London, the band was announced that they were going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I thought that was super exciting. leading up to my trip to London, like knowing that they were going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then during the night one of London, the crowd broke out into a chant of Hall of Fame. I got the goosebumps. I got the chills, whatever you want to call it. It was just so, I just felt so proud of them. Like there is no other word to describe it. Now, I don't think they understood what we were saying. So that's a whole other topic. Like apparently Dave and Carter thought we were saying call Aunt Betty, but we were saying Hall of Fame. And I think they got it. I think they finally got it. But I just thought that that was a cool gift from the fans to give to the band.
Trisha, how about you? What was your favorite moment?
Again, like I was saying, there's so many. I know that the fact that an acoustic Dream Girl came out solo in London was so beautiful and powerful. And after a good drunk call, you and me wake up and make love after a deep sleep where I was dreaming. And that just was like, it caught me off guard. But when I actually think about moments that I had on this tour, it consistently was during Jeff's solo and Best of What's Around. And I think we can agree that Universally Loved Songs, something fans are delighted if we actually get. Best of What's Around was played 9 times last year, the whole year, like including Mexico and a fall tour. And we got it 3 times in Europe. And I was lucky enough to be at them, the tour debut in Florence, on the live stream in London. Jeff nails that every single time. And if I, it actually brings out like a level of emotion and joy and like elevation of everyone's spirit in the crowd, like you can really feel it, that it just made me think like more Best of What's Around, more Jeff on the set, like let him go, let him play, let him take us on a journey. I know that might be like an unorthodox best moment, but when I actually like really connect with myself of like what I was experiencing, Best of What's Around did it for me.
That's
tour.
That's a great choice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm all in on that too. I love, you know, Jeff just taking off.
Yes.
Just let him walk around, let him, you know, move towards the center of the stage. When he first joined in, you know, 2008, 2009, he was doing that on a regular basis. And I love when that, you know, when that comes
that
back
happens. Yeah.
For so many reasons.
Yeah. It just feels like a song of the moment, if you will, like a moment that we all kind of need. And we're all making the best of it, you know? So, yeah.
Boa. Sean, how about you? Favorite moment?
There's a lot to choose from. I wish there was more than 4 of us on this podcast, because there's certainly more than 4, you know, elite moments. We're going to naturally leave some incredible ones, you know, off and not mention. But I think for me, for a couple of different reasons, and I'll explain why. I think Florence, the encore in Florence, was kind of my real standout moment of the tour, or at least on par with, you know, a handful of some of the best moments of the tour. It's a really interesting encore, because Dave comes out and you get a solo Some Devil, you know, kind of standard stuff right there. But it's what happened after that for a number of different reasons really stuck with me. So if we backtrack really quickly, it was the second of 2 shows in Italy. They had played Milan right before that. Now we fast forward, they're in Florence for the next show. And we were talking a little bit earlier about the fact that the band was doing, you know, such an incredible job of not really repeating almost any song in back-to-back shows. We gave a bunch of instances where that was the case. But after the Some Devil to kick off the encore, they then go into PNP. And of course, that normally means that Rapunzel's coming after that. And Rapunzel had just been played in Milan. So I think there was this moment where it was like, oh, okay, this is fun. We are going to kind of get a song that we just did get in Milan. And what happened was totally out of left field and not something I was expecting at all. They go PNP into 2-step. something that had never happened before. And if that wasn't enough, Two Step for me, at least in my opinion, has really just been on a totally different level during this European tour. I'm happy to have Two Step in any setting. More Two Step, please. There were times over the course of the 2023 summer tour that Two Step felt like it was dragging on a little bit, and it kind of needed, you know, maybe a shot in the arm. And Europe brought that. If you go back and you listen to these performances of Two Step, there weren't many of them. It was performed a grand total of 5 times over the course of the tour, but it really stood out to me, the shock and surprise of getting it after PNP. That would have been enough if you're just set list watching, but these performances of Two Step, it's a song that for so many years has been so powerful and has been such, most times that you see Two Step over the course of the history of this band, it's kind of the standout of that night, or it's at the very top of the list of standout performances if you're lucky to consume it in person. This felt like that again. The Europe 2024 Two Steps felt like that. It felt like if you were at a show in which Two Step got played, you were going to go home and you were going to talk about it, because Two Step just kind of felt like it was back, and it was, you know, the best version that we've heard probably with this band. So for a number of reasons, I'm going to go with that encore in Florence. First, it catches you off guard. Secondly, something happens that has never happened before. And then the icing on all of that is this monstrous, great version of Two Step.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's the stuff that's keeping us on our toes, and that's the stuff we want. PMP into Two Step, you know, full Last Stop, doing Lie in Our Graves and not doing the reprise and then doing it in the encore.
Right.
You know, that only happened once this tour. Yes. And that is always so exciting, you know, and that's not something that they do normally. Dave doing Dreamgirl solo on an acoustic guitar was such a surprise and so gorgeous, and you could hear a pin drop in the room while he was doing it. You know, like these things were Buddy on the organ, right? That, I mean, these moments were surprising. I mean, I don't know how many times I said, holy shit, right? Like, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've said that, not even the show as I was at, like just even setlist watching or couch touring. I think that that is what we're all, that's what keeps us following this band. That's why we've been to as many shows as we've been to for moments like this. And to get multiple in one tour is pretty amazing.
Some people wait a lifetime.
All right, Kelly Clarkson.
All right, that's where I went. That's where I went. So there you have it. Europe 2024. Close up your Rosetta Stone.
Oh.
Put it in a box. Put it away until next time. Maybe when do we think we're going to see another European tour? How many years was it?
5 years?
Yeah.
How long will it be until we see a new album? Because they very well may go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. Very interesting stuff. I think that the fact that, I mean, this tour must have been such a success for them just based on any number of things. I mean, the fact that how much fun they were having, but also just, you know, as we talked about how locked in they are, maybe they'll want to go back sooner than that. I mean, who knows? Who knows? And again, maybe I mentioned earlier the whole idea that, you know, maybe part of the things that's driving them forward is this feeling that they, you know, only have a finite amount of time left to do this. And, you know, maybe they're going to say, let's go back to Europe next year or whatever, you know. But anybody else have any final thoughts on Europe?
I'll add that in some ways it feels like at the moment we're a pretty spoiled fan base in the sense that the band is coming off a European tour that if this tour didn't exceed your expectations, I would love to have a conversation with you because you didn't have realistic expectations going in then.
Right.
You know, it's so far surpassed what I thought that this tour was going to be. And the way that the calendar kind of looks as we move forward, the band is really only back in the States and able to kind of rest for a week or two. And then we're jumping right into the summer tour.
Crazy.
It's really, really nuts how this is all going to kind of play out. And what it does is it kind of ups what the expectations are, I think, for this summer tour now. I think whether you were at these European tour shows, whether you were couch touring, taking in the live stream, a couple of them have now been released on Sirius XM. Another little nugget that we can tell you about is in the coming weeks, we're going to be getting a compilation from our friends over at dmbremasters.org, a Best of Europe compilation. So there's an awful lot of material out there. And now they're going to jump right into this massive US tour. Expectations are really high, but what a fun time to be consuming the band, whether it's online, whether it's in person. If you can find a way to get to a show this summer, it seems like you're going to want to do it, because the way that things are going right now, you just don't know what you're going to get from night to night. It just makes, I love the music to begin with. I'm going to, you know, I continue the band through the highs and the lows. We're in a high. We've been in a high for a little while now. And what a fun wave to just keep riding.
Hell yeah.
Trisha, here we go. You're getting the mic drop. Here we go.
Well, it's the biggest takeaway, and it's not going to be popular necessarily, but I do want to mention that Dave mentioned what's happening in Gaza and the hostages at every single stop on tour. He didn't just say it once in Norway and then never say it again. And so while while these shows are fun and games and we go there to have the release and to forget about things, and we're talking about moments and stats, I also want to get under the hood at the messages that Dave is sharing and how he is choosing to use his platform in this moment in time. And you could tell the band's having fun, but you can also kind of tell that it's very apparent that Dave's has a heavy heart.
Yeah.
He has a heavy heart right now. He's going all over the world with such bravery, I think. And it just makes me love him and this band more, that he's always going to use his platform to speak about what's right. And between that and the Rock Hall and just our whole experience with this tour, it's just, I feel like a new level of love for this man and this band. So I just wanted to make a note of that.
That was an on-brand takeaway.
It was on-brand.
No, I love it. I love it. And Everybody's locked in. What you just said is why the tour ended with the last stop. That was
And why we got Madman-sized every night.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, all of this was intentional. He wasn't just writing a set list. Like, everything was done with intention. Yeah. And he probably knew exactly when he was going to say what he was going to say every night. And, I think that that's really, really important.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. There's Europe 2024. We are very happy to have been able to share as much as we were able to share about this tour. I will say that it was great having you guys across the pond, offering firsthand
boots, you know, on the ground,
boots on the ground of where the band was and the experience and all of that. I hope that you all out there enjoyed that as much as I did. You know, it felt like I was there. And so I'm very happy about that. But here we are now in sort of a gearing up period. It's the calm before the summer tour storm, which starts in like 2 weeks. And
insane. Like, I feel like I'm like sad that the Europe tour is over. Like, I'm a little sad, but then like I remember like, oh, I don't got 2 weeks until the summer tour. So the depression, as we call it, will go away very quick.
Right. So we're going to be gearing up for that. We've got a lot of stuff going on here at the Pod That Jane Likes. We are in the process of getting ready to launch our summer tour merchandise. It's not ready quite yet. It's still in the oven, but it will be available very, very soon. When it pops out of the oven, you will be the first to know about it. We will
have our
normal offerings of shirts and stickers, which we can't wait to share with you. And another interesting tidbit, which I won't say too much about, but I would say that if you'd like to see the Pod That Jane Likes live and you missed our show in New York City, that you might want to clear your calendars this summer, because we might be coming back, guys. We might be doing another live show, but I'm not going to say any more about it. I just heard that maybe that would be the case, but we shall see. So stay tuned on that. A couple of other just quick little housekeeping items that I wanted to bring up, which are very exciting, actually. Number one, Some Devil, the vinyl re-release, has been showing up at people's homes, and reviews are generally good. The songs are there, everybody. The songs are there.
They made it.
They made it onto the vinyl. I know we at the Pod That Jane Likes would have loved a remastered version. We would have also loved bonus tracks. But it's there. It exists. It's on vinyl. It's exciting. I know that there are a couple people on this podcast who ordered the vinyl. I don't know if they've received it
yesterday.
Yet. Jeanette, you were also wearing your Some Devil merch, which also arrived, which is cool.
I love merch.
So the Some Devil vinyl is out. If you do not pre-order, you can still get it from your local vinyl purveyor, whether that's Amazon or your local record store. I would recommend going to your local record store and supporting them if you're going to pick that up, which is cool. So that's out there. And the other sort of DMB music note is that Spotify has quietly added a few more live tracks to their library. We are now all the way up to live tracks 44. There's a few great shows in there. Specifically, live tracks 42 now features, I think, probably the most anticipated DMB track that was not on streaming before, which is now available on streaming, which is on live tracks 42, A Dream So Real. I'm very happy to have it. I'm just kidding. Shotgun is in that show, and it's the first time that Shotgun is available streaming. Yeah. It is also the first time that A Dream So Real is available on streaming, but yeah. I think a lot more people are interested to have Shotgun. So go listen to those. Sean, I know you're a live tracks aficionado. What should people check out on those live tracks that are out there other than Shotgun and A Dream So Real?
Well, yeah, I mean, you definitely should check those out. There's been so much happening with the band recently that in some ways this kind of seems like it's gone under the radar that they've dumped a couple of, it's kind of been one per week. So we'll see how long that trend
is. So quiet. It's like,
it's very quiet. There's a little fanfare
management. There's like a little red light management, like elf who's like, he's like, hey, we've got another live tracks for you. And like, just like slides it over to Spotify, and they like put it into the big Spotify machine. And then it all of a sudden appears.
A little elf.
With no fanfare. The red light elf. Yeah.
The red light elf. Well, yeah, I'm here for that. I hope that elf keeps, you know, showering us with more and more goodies. There's a lot of great material that has been released here in the last couple of weeks. I mean, there's no question about it. At the heart of DMB, this is a live band, right? Like I'm not saying anything controversial. That's what they are. So yeah, I mean, we'll happily take as much live material on all these streaming platforms as possible. I think a couple of things that I'll draw your attention to. Live Tracks 41, which is available, is actually a Dave and Tim show. It is a Dave and Tim show that comes to us from 1999 in the Berklee Community Theater. It's a really fantastic release. There's some great gems, whether it's Lover Laid Down, Digging a Ditch. There's some incredible performances. If I Had a Boat, which was common at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Was sprinkled that's in on there. Oh, I got it. I'm going to listen to them right now.
Yeah, definitely check out Live Tracks 41. And actually, I'll piggyback off of what Matt was saying. He was kind of joking around at the fact that we now have A Dream So Real. And of course, he was referring to Live Tracks 42. Live Tracks 42 has some really sneaky gems, some sneaky performances,
yeah, great
including
show.
Maybe, and I mean, this is up for debate, but borderline the best released performance that we've ever had of If I Had It All. So if you're a fan of deep cuts from that Everyday album, speaking of songs that I'd love to see pop up over the course of the summer,
right?
But there is a fantastic version of If I Had It All on that particular Live Tracks 42. So check that out.
And talk about transition points for the band. One of these albums that is available now, which is Live Tracks 44, is the closing show of the Gorge in 2016, which is really Boyd's last real show with the band, because 2017 they take off and Dave and Tim are there. They come together for the Charlottesville concert, but it's obviously a very different everything. You know, Boyd is not even audible in that recording. So this really is the last stand, I would say, for Boyd with the band. You know, just an interesting thing to have available to you.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Matt. How fitting is it that, whether or not people knew it at the time, that this was going to kind of be the end of things for BT being in this band, but also in some ways the kind of the end of that sound of DMB. How fitting is it that if you go back and you look at this show, there's a pig in the encore. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about songs that have really evolved and changed over time. And in some way, Pig is a song that every time I hear Pig, I can kind of hear BT in the back of my head. So perfectly placed that at the end of this show in the encore, you get, you know, kind of one last Pig, if you will. Yeah. About as great of a, you know, to use Matt's word or to use everyone else's word, quintessential BT.
Yeah.
And that sound, that's what you get on this Pig.
Yeah. So that's available. A lot of great stuff there. You know, you could be taken on an emotional roller coaster with these four recordings. I mean, you've got Shotgun, you've got BT's basically last show, you've got a great Dave and Tim show. And then I think the other show is from Hi-Fi Buys from like the early 2000s as well, which is also a really good show. So yeah, that's going to do it for us. We are really looking forward to all of the stuff that is to come this summer. We can't wait to get on the road. We can't wait to tell you more about what we've got cooking. And we will see you when we see you.
We will see you this summer on the road.
Bye.
Ciao.
Bye.